Hey, okay, so Stig, thank you for joining me and Jason on this Skype call, this podcast.
Thank you so much.
So anyone listening, to give you a bit of background, Jason, you're in Norway at the moment, in Bergen, is that right?
Yes, that's correct, yeah.
Doing a production of The Full Monty.
Yes, indeed.
Yes. So, Jason, firstly, I'll talk to you. How's it going over there?
It's going well. I've been here a few times, and this is the smoothest time I've ever had. It's been brilliant. I've got such a good cast, so that makes my job so much easier. It's gone really well. I've been here 6 weeks, which is a really long time in Britain for rehearsals. And we had some lovely reviews just come out. So, yeah, it's been a really nice process with friends I've known and new friends, Stig being one of my new friends.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
So, it's been very good. And I'm coming back on Sunday, which I don't want to. So there you go. That's a good thing.
Yeah,
that's good. So 6 weeks rehearsal, that must have felt like a bit of a shock to the system and a bit more relaxing than being over here.
It's a bit more relaxing than doing Shakespeare in 2 weeks, yes. Because I'm choreographing as well, I thought, oh God, there's going to be lots of dance routines, but actually they're very narrative, the choreography, so it's all been really smooth. And it's just a great cast and a lovely, really nice set and a great band. Yeah, so it's really, I'm really quite happy.
Have you had any challenges over the last 6 weeks? Like, what's been challenging? Because, I mean, you're used to sort of directing plays more than musicals.
Yeah, only that I had to revisit my old days of being in musicals. Oh, I have to rethink that. But challenges, not really, no. It's not a difficult show in the sense that the story is the story. It's not, obviously we look at the characters, but it's not, the story is the story. We're not trying to look at it in a different way. The story is the story. So what's been interesting is that the important thing for the cast and myself is to not get too carried away with being in a musical and to still have a story and still have what happened to these guys and women, and that's kind of which is interesting, what the reviewers have picked up on as well, so that's good. So that's nice. We are telling a story as well as just singing songs
and entertaining kind of thing as well.
Yeah,
than just that. Yeah, okay, excellent. So Stig, let's move on to your background and stuff before we get on to current day the show.
Yeah. Sure.
So what made you to decide to become an actor in the first place? Like, where did that sort of little fire start?
Well, first of all, I look at myself like an artist. First of all, I'm a musician. I do my reggae music now, like with my band, and my band is part of the cast in the band.
Oh, great.
Full Monty. And in the acting part is kind of a bonus. Like, I went to school with music and drama and theater, so I've been doing stuff on stage my whole life, actually. But
wow, what was that like? Because, I mean, over here, the arts are sort of a bit suppressed in a way at a young age. I don't know if you agree, Jason. Like, they're not really promoted singing, dancing and things like that as much as maybe they used to be. But it's great to hear over there that, you know, you went to a school where it was all just about the arts.
Yeah, it's not many schools like that. Like, in my city, it's like two different schools. But it makes you have the right focus if you got a passion for art or music, you get some opportunities going to that school.
Oh, really? Great. So you kind of started out in music before you got into acting?
Yeah, it's like, yeah, I've been doing music my whole life. I did sport. I had some talent with football and with sports. But in one part of my life, I just found out I just had to go for the music and... Yeah, and the acting and being an artist and entertainer.
Yeah. Oh, cool. So what did you do after? Was that like a secondary school or like a high school that you went to?
It's kind of a high school.
Yeah. Did you go to like a school after that? Like, what education did you take? Like, after that?
After that, the Eurovision Song Contest happened in my life. So
Wow.
School and went all in for the music.
So how did the Eurovision come about? Tell us about that story.
Well, at first I was in a TV show called Stars, something with stars. I'm not sure in English, but where we did cover songs of different known artists, and I did R. Kelly.
Wow.
And after that, my phone kind of started ringing, like management called me, and the Stargate, who's originally Norwegian. They're doing stuff in the US for Elton John and Beyonce, Rihanna, and stuff like that.
Wow.
And NRK, our TV company, our main TV company, called me and asked if I wanted to be in the competition. And I said, yeah, I'm not really sure if that's my thing. Oh, come on, come on, come on. And then at the end, I said, okay, let's do it.
Wow.
So, yeah, kind of a long story. Try to make it short.
Yeah. So what was the Eurovision like then? What was that whole experience like? What did you have to write a song? Were you given a song? What kind of?
Yeah. I wrote the song together with my producers, and I was only 17, so it was like a circus with a lot of media and TV shows and screaming girls and all that. It was for sure a great experience, but. I felt like it wasn't the real me, like doing that slick pop music.
Mm.
So I just kind of ended it all and started from scratch, building up my own thing with reggae and soul, hip hop. Yeah.
Oh wow, that's amazing. So that's quite a lot to go through at a young age, right? Do you think, I mean, you were sensible enough to sort of not let it consume you and kind of end it as you didn't feel it was the right path to go down? That's quite a big thing to decide.
Yeah, a grown-up decision. And then I was only like 20 or something. Mm. But have so much experience, and I feel like I could be like 50 or 60 years old. But I'm only 35, okay? Only 35.
So, I mean, that couldn't have done your, like, reputation any harm, though. Like, by getting that kind of exposure, even if you move on to other things, it's kind of you've had a name for yourself. That must help.
Yeah, for sure. It makes a whole lot of different opportunities for me along the way, so.
Wow, okay. Mm. So, I mean, obviously now your focus is in music and stuff. How did you become, like, involved in this production, The Full Monty?
Well, the theater here has a jubileum. It's an anniversary, it's called in English, anniversary. And they asked me, like, I've been part of this kind of community, like, from the outside for a while. I have a lot of friends who's been here doing all kinds of shows.
Mm.
So now they asked me if I wanted to be a part of this production. And I had to see the movie and the show on YouTube and see my character before I made my decision.
Yeah.
For sure. It was no big decision, because it looked like really big fun. So.
Yeah. This is going to sound like a silly question, Jason, but is it in English or Norwegian?
It's in Norwegian.
So how was that for you, Jason, first having to do a production in Norwegian?
Well, I've done it before, so I'm used to at least listening to the Norwegian language. But I think with the text, we just look at this text, look at the scene, what's been happening, what's going to happen at the beginning of the scene, middle, end, and just find it, and then do it. And then we, by, you know the way I work, how it feels right, then you know, that's the way to go. And of course, if I am way off on maybe certain things, don't worry, Norwegians tell you pretty quickly. So yeah, no, it's people ask me, they go, wow, that's really weird, but it's not really, because emotions, feelings, people, what people go through are the same in any language. And as long as you're telling the story that's the most important thing.
Mm. Okay. Oh, really, that's really interesting. So back to you, Stig, I want to talk a little bit about, because people that are listening to this might be musicians themselves or actors or actor musicians, which is becoming a common sort of trend now in the industry, the people being able to play instruments as well as act. There's quite a lot of demand for that. What kind of demand is there over there for actors and musicians or acting musicians over there? Is it, do you notice with your friends and things like that, do they have to be musical as well to get work? Do you have friends that are like that?
Well, I got a lot of different friends, like, of course, a lot of musicians, like struggling to get jobs, to get gigs, to get something to happen, because I guess Norway ain't the best place to start. Like, it's a rich country, but it's really, really little, and I don't know, it's hard to export your music or your acting skills or movies or stuff like that. You have to, kind of translate to English if you really want to go out of the country. But if you use the Norwegian language, of course, it's hard to get a job. But if you're lucky and have a work hard, you somehow can manage to stay alive. Or you have to have a job besides doing your passion.
Yeah, which is a lot of the case over here with people having to work, you know, maybe even two jobs at the same time as pursuing their passion and what they really like to enjoy. I mean, have you got a job side of it, or are you lucky enough to sort of immerse yourself totally in the music?
Well, I got my own company. Like, I do a lot of different projects, like, I do a lot of stuff with kids. Like, I got like reggae workshop in kindergarten.
Oh, great.
So I teach them the main, like the roots of reggae. And I also have a lot of other projects concerning kids, like a troll, Norwegian troll concept, which maybe it turns out to become a movie.
Oh, wow.
So, And I got my own reggae band, and I got some projects in Prague and in Oslo. So, yeah, I have to have some balls in the air to manage to survive in this business. And luckily for me, I have a known name, so it makes my way a little bit shorter, I think.
Yeah, definitely. How is the... I'm just interested in having to know English and how the accent, and if that affects any of your work. I mean, is it all within Norway, so it's all sort of Norwegian? You can just speak Norwegian in your music, in your workshops, in everything, because English doesn't come into that. Or do you still have to, and do other actor musicians have to sort of learn English and or drop their accents or work on their accents if they want to make it in the business
with the music?
Yeah
like we listen, of course we listen to other artists, like in England and in the US, or as long as it's quality and you get inspired. But I don't know, like in Norway it's really popular to do your own thing in Norwegian, so everything has to kind of be in Norwegian,
right?
To let the radio play your music. But again, you don't have to be like really mainstream. You have to go your own ways and stuff like that. So I mainly use English lyrics, and sometimes I do like collaborations with Norwegian artists and Norwegian. But I guess English is the main language to kind of make it, and to make new doors opened in other countries, and I guess it's English.
I agree. So how important do you think the sort of recent developments of technology, being able to produce your own music, and things like YouTube coming on the scene? Because obviously now the opportunities that artists have are sort of open because of the technology, because of the ability to maybe put your own stuff on iTunes or on Spotify without having to have a big label or a big producing company behind you?
Yeah. I think like it's different sides of looking at the case. It's like, first of all, it's a great opportunity to put your video, or you can sit in your living room and post it on YouTube, and everybody around the world can look at you. Mm. That's great. Spotify and stuff like that, it's great to kind of export your music for anyone who kind of are there seeking for a new artist, and suddenly they find an artist from Norway, and that's me. But in the economic side, it's kind of... Well, it's a challenge because we don't make a lot of money with the streaming of artists, and you need many millions of streams to kind of see something or get something back for what you have been doing. And like studio time, it costs money, and making music videos, it's free to look at the videos on YouTube. So. Well, it's kind of challenging, I think.
Yeah, so it's kind of good for exposure, but it's not good to earn money.
No, but for me, and a real artist needs to like to do it live and go on stage and meet the crowd and have some quality and not just in the studio.
Yeah, so the live performance is a bigger deal, if not a bigger deal to you.
Oh, yeah, it's kind of a part of the package.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. Okay, so let's talk a bit about the production then. Let's give that a little bit of a plug. Who do you play, Stig, in the show?
I'm playing a horse.
Horse?
Oh, yes. The big black man.
Not playing a horse, you're playing horse.
Yeah. Mr. Horse.
And have you done musical before? Have you done a musical?
No, not in this scale. I've been doing like with the kids and stuff like that, but not on a big stage like this.
And was it challenging, nerve-wracking?
No, it was exciting to like the manuscript and the story and meet all the other actors, and then of course the stripping part. It was kind of I've been thinking about it quite some time about the stripping part, but now we're on it, so everything's good. So,
so when did you open? When did the show open?
Today.
Oh, today! Really, it's the first night today.
Yeah, we had the press in on a dress rehearsal.
Which is okay.
My ideal, but it was fine. But yeah, so they call it premiere here. So opening night is tonight. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Wow, okay. So it's a big deal then.
Indeed.
And everyone associates the Full Monty with that stripping scene at the end. So was everyone just like obviously comfortable, had to be comfortable with it because they've got to do it. But there's always that sort of, as an actor, I would be a bit nervous about doing that.
Yeah, well, the first time, the first day, I actually met the other actors. We had to strip because of a newspaper was there taking photos. So I was like, okay, hello, let's take off photos. It was like for 4 or 5 days ago was the first time we took all our clothes off. So. Yeah, it was only Jason here, so it was fine.
It was extremely strange having to ask men to take their clothes off in front of me.
Yeah.
So we did a rehearsal without costume and then with costume. And
and then without costume. Because
and I'm giving notes to naked men. It was, you know, my eyes at the last moment. Yeah, but it's okay, and that was one of the last things we did.
Yeah, so. I mean that's the bit that everyone associates, but that's like such a small percentage of it, right?
Yeah, 2 minutes.
Yeah. So tell us about that theatre that you got there, and I mean I don't know much about Bergen, but is it kind of a big town, small town? Like, do you get, you know, is
compared
the theatre popular?
It's absolutely minute.
Right.
But it's a very beautiful city. I can't really think of what the size of something it would be. I mean, I don't know, it's probably smaller than Hammersmith, but it's a beautiful city. There's a lot of history here, but the theatre itself is just outside the city. As Stig said, it's got its 40th anniversary this year.
Wow.
And it's also the 10 years since I first came here as well. It's a lovely theatre. It's got a lot of history, a lot of interesting history. But as I said, I've been here not every year in the 10 years, but 10 years. And the main thing that I always like coming back here, because it's so much friendship and love here in this building. This is kind of the new, doing the big musical like this is a new thing as part of the 40th anniversary. So I only see this theatre just getting better and better, and it's always good anyway. So it's a 200 seater theatre, quite a deep stage, and we've got a nice big set with trucks coming on and off as well, and so that's kind of it. I don't know if that's answered all your questions.
Well, what's the theatre world like over there? Is it popular? Obviously, we've got this kind of opinion of it being dying down over here, you know, apart from the West End, but all sorts of small theatres like that are going down.
It is smaller than London or UK, but it's very thriving here. They have the DNS, which is like in Bergen. They have a big theatre in Oslo, but the DNS here is a bit like our National Theatre, but a bit smaller. It has three stages, and that is, you know, the big theatre. And there are lots of other smaller theatres around, and they also culture houses. They're called culture houses as well.
All right.
So performance is alive here. And I've been to, I sang in a concert last week, and there's always concerts and things going on. So that it is here, but I suppose London is in the UK, which is more my experience, is bigger. Yes. But it's quite alive here. Yeah.
What do you think we could take from, or what do you think you could say about the Norwegian culture and theatre culture? Both of you, this is to both of you, that you think is such positives that we could learn from? Because I think there's something you can get from every culture. What do you think we can get from the Norwegian culture?
On the side of theatre is that when I first came here, I had to write the piece, which I didn't know till I got here, and what I find is with Norwegians, as the same with British actors, but different here, is that they really, the text is very important, which it is in British theatre, but here they really go into the story. And I think the thing is that Norwegian folklore is much more stronger than British folklore, so that's where the understanding of wanting to have storytelling is very, very powerful here. Yes, it is in Britain as well, of course it is, but the folklore here is so much more stronger. So when you have children's shows here, they're really, that's really about telling the story in the text. So in Britain we have children's stories that may have be quite short and a few little songs here and there, but here they go in for the text a lot more. That's for me as a director, so I can explore it more.
Would you agree with that, Stig? Is it kind of, do you put that in your own stuff with the kids as well? Like you tell stories and really encourage that storytelling?
Yeah, for sure. And make them use their imagination like 100%. And of course it's a collaboration and everybody have to work together. Like you really have to think for yourself first, and make a picture of how you want it to be.
Okay, good. All right. Well, I won't sort of blast any more questions at either of you. I think it's been quite an informative podcast. I hope everyone listening has and found it really interesting. I found it really interesting. I would love to have come over. It was just that I couldn't come over this time, but. If you're there again, Jason, which I'm sure you will be, I'd love to come over and meet everyone. And it sounds like a really nice place.
Yeah, and this is just such a lovely cast, and all the everyone has something very different to bring. And Stig definitely has. I mean, he's a lovely man, and he's a great vocalist, and he has great energy to bring. So being around him and all the rest of the cast has been a real joy. So yeah, I hope to be back soon.
Great. So finally, Stig, let's do some plug-in. If people want to learn about your stuff and listen to your music, what have you got, a website, anything like that?
Yeah, or they can go on. You can go on Spotify, Stig van Eyck. It's like my afternoon name is like from Holland.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I had
so
some,
that's Stig, StigVanElfk.
JK.
Okay, cool. So
you should listen to me trying to pronounce people's names. And...
really? Cool. Okay. So people can find you on Spotify and check out your stuff
on all the streaming pages around the globe.
Excellent. Okay, well, thanks, Stig, and thanks, Jason, for chatting to me, and I hope everyone's enjoyed this podcast.